Finish him.
Ooh, Talking Loud Podcast. It's always Diesel Dog. And guys, we got a banging episode for you guys today. I got a super cool cat on the show. I ain't even going to stick to bring him out because a lot of you guys have been waiting for that. I've seen the chat is popping off, man. We got my homie Zaza Genetics in the house. What's going on, Zaza?
Appreciate you, bro. What's good, man?
Man, I'm good, man. Happy to have you on, bro. Like, bro, if you can see this chat right now, it's popping off, man.
Team Zaza in the house. In the chat. Y'all know what time it is, man. Shout out to Team Zaza.
That's what's up, bro. That's what's up, man. So, guys, hit that like, man. Drop it. Let me know where you guys are tapped in from, where you guys are tuning in from. Show some love. We got Zaza in the house, bro. But, you know, Zaza, what's going on, bro? Just tell me what's going on. What's cracking, bro?
Regular, man. Same old, man. We doing what we do, man. Always educating. It's all about QCE. That's quality, community, and education. You know?
Oh, I like that one, bro. Well, man, you've been doing all three. You've been delivering on all fronts, man. Like, you've been crushing on your channel. I was just telling you that off air, bro. Like, you've been really doing some great stuff to educate people out there. Even myself, you know, I tap in and I'm like, man, I didn't even know this shit, you know. And Zaza is just breaking it down real simple, bro. So, guys, definitely check him out. Check him out on IG, on YouTube. Man's crushing it, bro. Straight up.
Appreciate you.
Hell sure. Yeah, man. And we got a lot of people in the chat showing love, man. Gorillas everywhere, bro. Straight, it's crazy, bro. Like,
703.
That's what's up, bro. Crazy. It's crazy, man. So, guys, hit that like and show some love, man. But, you know, I got to shout out everyone in the chat. Of course, everyone tuning. Everyone watching right now, whether you're watching replay afterwards, it doesn't matter. And shout out to the ICANN fam as well. The VIP Bean Club is popping, man. The ICANN fam supporting our Patreon. You guys know what's up. Packages have already begun to touch down. Mailboxes are burning down. So, if you guys want some of that fire, join up and join up down below, man. And, of course, if you want some of that germination booster, Colorchip's got you covered. No more lost seedlings, man. No more viruses. I've been using it in crazy taproots within 24 hours, bro. But all that said, I think we got a surprise for you guys, because Zaza, we were just talking about it, bro. Maybe we might do a little bit of a giveaway for the fam, right?
Of course. Always gotta hit the community off.
Oh, sure. Man, that's just up, man. I just tossed the idea out to Zaza and he was like, yeah, bro, straight up. And he said, like, literally was just so kind, just three packs, bro. Say no more. Three packs. So we're gonna pick three winners, bro. So you guys definitely look out. We're probably gonna start off real quick. And I'ma just want to ask you, you know, just as I always ask everyone that comes onto the show, you know, before we get into any of that giveaway stuff, because I know you guys are fiending for that, but you guys got to work for it, so hit that like, right? But A lot of people do ask, you know, and I wanted to find out, you know, how did you get into growing, man? Like, did you always just want to grow weed? Like, what got you into it, bro?
Well, so I don't really consider myself a grower. I mean, of course, you have to grow the plant in order to you know, breed it.
Yeah.
But you know, I come from the world of breeding where mostly my skill come from dogs.
Okay.
And animals. But you know, eventually any responsibility that I find within the breeding world, you know, I'm attracted to it. So that's how I ended up in this community.
I got you, bro. And I actually seen, like, you dropped a video, bro. You had a dope story time, man. But tell us, like, how you got into, like, the actual breeding. Because I think I seen you say you started breeding at 17, bro. Like, 1-7, bro. Like, that's when people now learn to drive, man. And you cross some plants, bro.
Yeah. So that was actually, younger than that. I was messing around with fish. But when around the age of 17, when I was on the road, I started really selective, you know, messing with the science, selective breeding with rabbits.
Got you.
And then eventually it ended up to be dogs. So, you know, most of my career has been dogs. That's where most of my knowledge and experiences come from. But genetics is universal. It's really all the same.
So what kind of dogs did you breed?
In the beginning, it was bully breeds.
Okay.
American bullies. and then became Rottweilers, and then now Dutch Shepherds and Malinois, which are working dogs.
Bruh, that's pretty dope, man. I would not have guessed that when you said, like, you know, you start off breeding, man. I thought it was just straight up plants. But that's crazy, man. Everyone learns something every day. That's a dope thing. Now, guys, hit that like, because today we're going to break down a lot about breeding, because that's exactly what Zaza has been doing for such a long time. So aside from that, man, I also got a few questions. So if you guys got any questions for Zaza, drop it in the chat. We'll try to get those answered, you know. But before we get into any of that breeding talk and stuff like that, man, I just want to ask you, Zaza, like, everyone's got crazy inspiration behind their name. So for you, like, what's the inspiration behind your name, Zaza Genetics? Like, what's the inspiration behind that, man? How did you come up with that one?
So ultimately, it was a conversation. So it's actually my niece's name, which is ironic. So my niece, shout out to Zaza.
Dope.
The conversation that started with her father,
Yeah.
And eventually I told him I was going to, you know, I was kind of making a joke about it, you know, kind of like, I'm going to name my company after you, you know. She's like, I'm going to sue you. You know, she's young, you know, she's like 6 or 7 at the time, but, eventually, it became the name of the company. It fit, you know, at the time. It was good timing. It was good, branded, so I wanted to seize the moment with the name and, everything we do is exotic, so, you know, it works.
Yeah, again, that fire, bro. Well, I like that, bro, because, like, honestly, when I heard, I was like, man, that's some of that gas, bro. That's that gas pack. I need to grab some of that shit, bro, because, like, it says it all. Zaza, I thought, like, you know, Zaza's that gas, but it's really interesting just to hear, you know, a lot of people's stories and reasoning behind it, man. I would have never guessed that one, bro. Straight up.
We'll make sure you get some Dead Ops OG, and we'll give them all the strains we got available. We'll make sure you get each pack yourself, too.
Hell yeah, man. Well, thank you, man. Appreciate the love, man. That's what Zaza's out here doing, sharing that love, guys. So hit that like and go and check out his channel. Check out everything he's got going on. He's doing some great stuff. But what I also did want to do is get that giveaway rolling just a little bit, because I know that a lot of people are ready, and I want to make sure everyone gets a chance to enter. So let's just pull it up on screen now. What you guys got to do is just drop that hashtag Team Zaza in the chat. You guys will be entered to win that giveaway. That's all you guys got to do. We're going to pick 3 winners. You guys will be able to pick anything. I think, Zaza, you said they could, like, scroll through the website and pick anything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, any pack up there, just pick your pack. Let me know in the DM on Instagram, and we'll take care of you. Make sure you're taken care of. And then anybody who doesn't win, of course, only 3 people can win, but anybody who doesn't win, we're going to set up a coupon code for everybody for 40% off ICANTHC. So,
big ups, man. Big respect, man. Thank you for that, bro. So you guys definitely, that's a Christmas blessing for you guys, man. So if you guys don't win, you're still winners anyway, man, because you can grab 40% off. So think of it that way. Smack bang. Who wins? Double winners. That's what's up. But all you guys got to do is drop that hashtag Team Zaza in the chat, and you guys will be entered. Now, don't overspam the chat. Don't drop it too many times. Just drop it once. All you need to do is drop it once. You guys will be entered. Like, you don't get multiple entries or anything like that, you know, but, you know, other than that, while that's going on, I want to just chat with you, Zaza, because we got a few questions that actually come in. And, you know, you've been breeding for such a long time, bro. Like, and respect to you on that, dude. Like, you know, just learning and accumulating all that knowledge. I'm sure that there's a lot that you could have probably transferred across from, like, breeding with animals and dogs and stuff like that when it comes to plants. Was there any transferable knowledge, or was it all, like, completely separate?
That's a good question. Most of it was transferable. The only real differences you're going to run into is mainly clones.
Okay.
You can't clone animals. But ultimately, the mechanics is all the same. The science behind it, the understanding chromosomes and, you know, DNA and heterozygosity and all of these terms that we use and, all of these different, it's all of the same, you know.
Yeah.
Fine breeding, inbreeding, you know, so.
Interesting. So, like, when you're okay. Wow. So when you're, like, transferring across from, like, the dogs into the plants, you're actually pretty much a lot of the same principles that you could actually use. But with the plants, the clones just makes it a little bit different. So how does clones differ? Like, when you're doing it, like, is there something else that you just need to be mindful of or anything like that?
Well, you can't clone an animal, really. I mean, unless you work for, like, I don't know,
maybe some crazy doctor, some fucking lab, bro. I don't know.
It's nothing that we could do at home in a tent, but or in a backyard, like we could a litter of puppies. But Yeah, that's pretty much the main difference between the two is
So if you were, but like if you were to like I probably ask it real bad, but like if you were like in a tent, so we're talking only plants now, like when you're crossing cuttings versus two plants that came from seeds, is there anything different?
The fact that you got to reverse the cone, I mean, unless you're dealing with two female seeds, you'll have to reverse the female as well. But the clones are probably, of course, going to be more uniform than whatever seed strain you're starting with, unless somebody's created uniformity within it. That's probably the only difference.
Yeah, I got you, bro. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, you guys definitely drop that hashtag Team Zaza in the chat and let's see what's up. But Zaza, you dropped a pretty interesting video recently, and I think it's a lot of people who actually ask this question as well, because you see it on a lot of packs. Like, you know, people are looking to go and buy genetics and they're looking to go and cop new beans, and they see, you know, F1, F2, F3, and they're like, well, what does this even mean? Like, you know, do I cop the F3 because it's the highest number, or the 1 because it's the first one? So what's the difference between all those F's and like F1, F2, F3, and all that stuff?
Gotcha. So F1 is your parent generation. That's always the generation of offspring that came from the mother and father that started it all. Okay. You know, F2 is the offspring, the brother and sister generation. So at that point, it's the start of the inbreed, the inbred line.
Yeah.
And it's the start of exposing your recessive traits through inbreeding. So when we start to breed closely, we open up the gene pool and we allow recessive traits to come up front, which normally would have not shown in the first parental generation, which is the F1, you know, the first fallout generation. So F3 is now also inbreeding, but with purpose. We should have then selected for whatever reason within the F2 and determine what work we need to do. And F3 is the direction that we need to go to get that work complete, pretty much. So we continue to inbreed until we fix whatever traits we need to fix. And however many generations it takes.
Okay, interesting. So how long, like how many generations, so to speak, would be like an appropriate amount, you know? Because I've heard some people, like, shout out to my homie Christmas to Grow It. He, you know, I think he ran like F3, and, you know, he wanted to get to like a certain amount of generations that he ran until he was comfortable releasing it to the public and stuff like that. So is there any like reasoning behind that or anything like that?
Well, yeah, of course. It's really all about what your objective is. So
okay.
Your objective may be to isolate and remove any undesirable traits. That should always be your primary focus. That should always be the first goal, is to search for and remove any undesirable traits. So when people say pheno hunt, that's really the first pheno hunt you're doing when you're exposing recessive traits. Once you've then, if you've determined you've found any undesirables, then you need to remove them, however long it's going to take. So in the case that it was something like hermaphroditism, if it's really bad and it's dominant within your line, it may take you 3-4 generations to, you know, get it out. But it's all about what your objective is.
I got you. I guess it makes a lot of sense, as with a lot of things in life. Okay. But like when it comes to like undesirables and stuff like that, you know, like what sort of things would be considered undesirable? Is it just like this plant grows kind of short and stocky and maybe I don't like that? Or is it just like herms you're talking, or is it wider than that?
Well, I mean, you could have a ton of undesirable traits. They're all, you know, should be prioritized, but hermaphroditism is one of the biggest ones, right?
Okay.
Weakness to just any type of weakness should be called out. It should be removed. So if your specimen is weak to wind or light or heat and it's exposing herms, then it should be removed completely. You should always stress test and test your lines for strength. And those are the ones that you inbreed with. You don't breed any weakness into your line.
I got you. And that means, I guess, on the flip side, that if you're looking for desirable traits, it'll be anything that's not a herm, right?
Well, once you've made sure you don't have any undesirables, then you can look for the things that you want as far as desirable traits, color, and, you know, some of the things that are really important to us, but not as important as stabilizing and removing any undesirable traits. Like, that's always the most important. So it's always really important, even more so, to start with really strong parents that don't have any desirables within the gene pool. And, okay. You know, from reputable breeders, if you can find them.
Yeah. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So as a lot of people always say, start off with like proper genetics. It's all about the genetics, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So like, when do you find like situations that herms come up? If it's a herm and it's like some, it's a really fire pheno, no matter how much fire it is, you probably just get rid of that, right?
Well, yeah, you definitely want to remove it. That's
can't fuck around.
It's not breeding quality. It shouldn't be in the gene pool at all.
I got you. Okay, makes a lot of sense. Man, just hearing you speak, you know, you know so much about like the breeding process and talk about the gene pool and all that, man. It sounds like I'm dunking a scientist over here, bro. Yeah, fuck with that, bro. But okay, now I got a question which came in from the ICANN VIP Bean Club homie, my homie Saint Nick, man. And big ups to Saint Nick because he's been super patient. He actually asked this on the last show and I wasn't able to get it answered, man. But I think you're the perfect person, so I'm glad I was able to hold it for you. He asks, how do you alter your feeding schedule when breeding for seed versus breeding for flower versus yield? So if you're breeding for seeds instead of just growing weed, you know, how do you alter your feeding schedule?
I feed the same. I do a lot of okay. So the only growing that I'm doing is really stress testing.
Okay.
So I'm never really feeding or growing in a normal way. Like I really ever produce flower just to be able to smoke it, or, you know, it's very rare.
Okay.
Normally my plants are always being pushed to the limit. They're always being killed. I got one of my tents, a 4x4, that's called the graveyard.
Whoa, bro, the graveyard, bro.
In the graveyard, only the strong survive. So you'll see pots with just dead plants leaning over, and, you know, and
bro, that is crazy. That's probably one of the wildest things I think I've ever heard on this show, bro. That's some real dope ass shit, bro. Straight up. I like that. Yeah. Only the strong survive in the fucking graveyard, guys. So hit that like. Now, yeah, man, I think since there's no difference really, that goes to show that, you know, once a plant gets what it needs, it'll be happy, you'll be happy, the plant will be happy, and you can get to your outcome, right? You just got to keep it alive, basically.
Oh, yeah. Well, you want to push it to the limit. Anything, any weakness you want to cull out, you remove any weakness. We don't want any weakness. We want only the strong survive. So, and as a grower, sometimes it's hard to translate killing your plants or letting them go, but, you know, it happens even in the dog world. You know, I come from the dog world where I see people put dogs to sleep because they just not breeding stock. Wow. You know, and it's a responsible act as a breeder because we don't want to ever put out weakness.
Yeah, I got you. Makes a lot of sense too, because you don't want any of that around. You want to make sure you got that proper stuff. And I guess this question is one that also came in from my homie, ICANN VIP Bean Club fan, Mr. Awesome Badass. You know, shout out to him. But he says, what are the pros and cons of, you know, breeding, you know, with male versus female versus female versus female? Like, is there any benefit or, you know, between the two?
Well, of course. So when you're dealing with a natural, a male and a female, then the male's objective is to do what he's come to do, just to pollinate the female, and he's really good at it if you pick the right male. All right, so in a female, same thing. It's a little bit different when you reverse a female. You're kind of dealing with the ethylene binding with copper. So when ethylene binds with copper, it creates female parts. When we spray it with something like a colloidal silver, we prevent the binding of the copper, and it then in turn makes male parts. So when that happens, you end up with pollen sacs, and sometimes viable or maybe not viable. You know, it's really a timing thing. It's how much spray you're using, the amount of spray. So it can be finicky if not done correctly, especially if you're dealing with like a gibberellic acid or STS, the silver thiosulfate. It could be a lot more trickier and complex than just a colloidal silver, but either way, it needs to be done right, or you won't end up with viable pollen and you'll miss your opportunity. So but when you got a good male and a female, it's pretty much it's real simple. Just
I got you. No, that's pretty interesting. Now, you mentioned a lot of things there, bro. And like, you know, like I say, you're so been doing this for such a long time, man. You got a lot of knowledge up in that dome when it comes to the breeding process, bro. So shout out. But, you know, when it actually comes to the breeding, right? Like, how do I put it, man? Like, there are probably a lot of different things that, you know, people would probably want to do, right? So if I was a beginner first starting off, you know, and you mentioned like the colloidal silver, you mentioned some of the other ways that you can do it just if you're running FEMS or whatever. But if someone is just starting off as their first attempt at breeding, so to speak, right? And what would you recommend they do? Would you recommend they go for just grab a male, grab a reg seed, you know, let it look for a male and let that male pollinate a female? Or would you tell them, try the colloidal silver, you know, try to make feminized seeds sort of thing?
Nah, I tell them to hold their horses and do the research that's necessary in order to actually understand the process of breeding, because you don't want to just be like everybody else that wants to be a breeder or claims to be a breeder.
Yeah.
If you really want to do this, understand what it takes to be a breeder and what most breeders, how, you know, what's their mindset, because it's not of the community, right?
Yeah.
If you'll notice that breeders have a responsibility to enhance, preserve, you know, they're going out looking for extinct specimens, whether animal or plant, to help and put a hand in participating with fixing the issue versus trying to make a dollar. You know, it's not that simple, and it never will be. So anybody who's just looking to put two and two together, it's not that simple. Really, really go back to the 1865s. And pardon me, from one of my last videos, I spoke on Gregor Mendel, but I said Edgar Mendel. I got a friend named Edgar, and they chewed me up. And one guy chewed me up in the comments. So pardon me, but yeah.
You know how they can be, bro.
So Gregor Mendel, yeah, 1865, man. You know, he started, gave us the understanding of selective breeding and isolating traits. So, you know, you go back that far, do your research, and, you know, it don't take a lot to become better than your favorite breeder. I tell you that, because they don't. you can a couple hours. I teach my guys all the time, man. A couple hours, I teach you more than your favorite breeder knows. And you know, they come equipped with these questions. They go back and ask these breeders, and they get cursed out, or they get, you know, it's just, you know, it's
big facts, bro. And they have a lot of breeders out there, you know, and I think that personally, bro, like, you know, when they get to a certain level and their name gets out there and they're like, you know, a lot of people know them, I can call names, but I'm going to call names, right? They'd sort of lose that love for what they're doing sort of thing. It just starts to become monotonous, and, you know, they just putting out shit, you know, just for putting it out sake. And, you know, the love for it is kind of fucking lost in it, you know? So I think that keeping the love there is important, right?
Yeah, of course, man. Everything starts with, that's why, you know, a lot of these guys don't like to be called pollen checkers, right? If the shoe don't fit, don't wear it, right? But a lot of them love putting that shoe on, man.
Yeah, they're strapping them boots up, bro.
but the thing about it is, man, you can't go to any of your favorite dispensaries and see them sell you a lamb race, because they're extinct.
Literally.
You know, you wanna because everything's been, you know, crossed and outcrossed and flipped and bounced, and everything's a polyhybrid, and, you know, and, you know, all got the cool names and the glitter and the packaging, and it's all to make money. And that's just not what land races is about. We're talking about ancestry and culture and villages, and, you know, thousands of years of history, you know, where like something like that's in the dead ops, like the Bacal hash plant, which is have been used for almost 1,000 years to create some of the best hashes around the world, you know, in northern Afghanistan region. So you start to look into the culture and the history of where these things started, and you know, it gives you purpose as a breeder. That's where you want to start.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, man. And again, I'm hearing the passion when you speak, and just the knowledge is coming pouring through, bro. And I just got a question coming from OG Lieutenant Blazer. He's always tapped in, man. So shout out OG Lieutenant, man. He says, if you hand pollinate a feminized seed plant with pollen from a male of a different strain, are those seeds still having the feminized trait or not?
He said, if you had to pollinate a feminized seed plant with pollen from a male of a different strain, do you mean like a reg male?
Yeah, I'm assuming so.
All right. So, yeah, if you pollinate a feminized seeds with a regular male, it'll no longer be, it'll be a percentage less than what it was, feminized. Yeah, for sure.
See, that breaks it down a lot, man. And you guys definitely, like, it's a lot of things to get into the breeding, you know. You guys really need to understand, like, not just from F1, F2, and F3, but, like, just understanding how it all works together and plays together. And Zaza is a great source for some of that information. So definitely check him out on YouTube, man. He's dropping some bombs. But Zaza, we were talking earlier about F1, F2, F3, and what all that stuff means, right? And another thing that you see quite often, you know, you might see it on your favorite pack of beans. It might be, like, something, something BX1, you know, what the hell does that mean? Like, when they see BX1 on their pack of beans, like,
what does BX mean? BX is short for back cross.
Okay.
So ultimately, a back cross is when you are back cross is somewhere closely related to your mother, father, uncle, you know, typically mother, mother or father in a plant, where, you know, to kind of fix certain traits. It's a method we use in the animal world as well.
Okay, I got you. So it's like you sort of like stabilize some of those traits, I'm assuming, in that strain, that all that cultivar, that pheno, whatever you want to call it, that you're looking at, right?
Yeah. You know, so for me, particularly within the plant world, I use back crossing as a tool a lot to revitalize and restore vigor when I run into what we call inbreeding depression. So as you continue to inbreed, the more you inbreed, you will lose some of those important traits that you started with, and you're able to restore them by back crossing to the original parent.
Okay, I got you. Makes a lot of sense, man. That's why a lot of people, I guess, when they say, oh, I back cross this strain, it's really stabilized that shit. And you know, for someone who doesn't know anything about what that means, they probably just thinking, well, that BX1, that's some fire shit. I'm gonna grab that BX1. You know,
the funny thing about it is the person selling it knows that the consumer doesn't know, so it's jargon. They, a lot of times, they don't even know what it means, but they know if they can throw it out there, it becomes more appealing to the consumer, who may seem like, oh wow, they may not know, but they're like, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. But 95% of the chance, he don't even know what it means. But once you educate yourself, you can expose that. You can see how less and less of you are impressed with the options you got out there. It's not many.
Yeah, it's true, though. It's true. And you're speaking big facts, man. And that's what Zaza's out here to do, bro. But I got a nice little question that I actually wanted to ask you, bro. You know, like, you got a tons of fire strains, bro. But, like, which one would you consider to be, like, that flagship cultivar? You know, that Zaza genetics, that Zaza. Which one is that one?
Yeah, so I don't have many strains. I can name them on one hand, probably. So Dead Ops OG,
bro.
Yeah. It takes years, man. If I wanted to completely create uniformity within a strain, it would take 20 years at least. We were just going over that in a lecture last week with my group, and and that's just period, man. It's just a requirement of at least 20 years of inbreeding work in order to create complete homozygosity within it. Any population, plant, animal, doesn't matter. Yeah. But my favorite, I would have to say, is Boondocks Glue, because it has purpose to auto flower. But Dead Ops OG is the most popular by far. Photo period. It's a cross of the Bacal hash plant, which is a land race from northern Afghanistan we just talked about, and then the UK cheese.
Okay.
And then on the other side, you got the completely other side of the world, also a land race, but the Uzbekistan land race from a colder region, crossed with the Skunk Number One. So,
okay,
that is Dead Ops OG right there. A lot of land race and history within the land, a lot of Skunk Number One and land race in there. So,
I like that, man. You're hitting the land race notes and shit. So, that means you're really trying to keep, you know, some of those things alive. I like that, man.
Yeah, you got to keep it to the history.
And like I said, guys, so Zaza's got some of that fire, and you guys definitely check it out. But if you guys want a chance to be able to, you know, win some of that fire on today's group, like I said, we're going to pick three. So you guys definitely drop that hashtag Team Zaza. For all the people just tapping in, drop that hashtag Team Zaza in the chat right now, and you guys will be entered. Just drop it once. You don't have to spam it, but, you know, we're going to help you guys out. Now, homie, I did want to ask you, bro, because, like, I got another question, which is, you know, a pretty interesting one, right? And this one, it came in from my homie Caitlin Campbell, right? She's big fan, homie of the VIP, ICANN VIP Bean Club. And I just wanted to drop that question. Where is it, man? So, okay, she's going to Montana. She says, much love and respect to us both. Do you prefer to breed in tents or do you mess with outdoor pollination? That's a pretty interesting one, you know, because she lives in Montana and she grew outdoors during the summer and indoors during their roughly 6 month long winters, which is pretty fucking long. So mm-hmm. what do you prefer? Do you grow, like, do you do it indoors or outdoors?
Well, so when I'm breeding, it's always, I want to have the smallest population to be able to control, have the most control over. So indoors, I'm going to have the most control over just being able to, I do a lot of stress testing and strength testing, what I call it. So okay. I need to be in the, you know, in that sort of enclosed environment. I use two 4x4s side by side. And usually if I have to implement my 2x4, you know, I'll bring them in, but for some isolation. But for the most part, the 2x4 is one of them, like I said, is the graveyard. The other is strength testing. You know, if they can make it to the graveyard, then, you know, there's some, you know, if they can make it through the graveyard, you're a bad month. You know, you bad.
Yeah, you're a bad bitch.
Yeah.
I got you, bro. Okay, so I like that because that means you could probably really control your environment indoors, right? Like a lot of people say when you're breeding, like you, some people want that negative air pressure, so they want their tents to suck in a little bit on each side. You know, so I guess like you really can dial in that environment a lot better indoors when, like, you know, when the tents literally sucked in like that. But I mean, it's probably a lot easier to pollinate other shit if you're outdoors as well, like on the flip side of it, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, if that's, yeah, like she said, open pollination is where you can practice outside. It's more of a natural process.
Yeah.
You know, you can look at it almost in a sense of natural selection. If you're dealing with what we call wild types or land races, you know, but if it's just strain that you've created, I don't know. If you can keep control about open pollinating, you know, because you always got neighbors, you know, pollen can travel up to 3 miles away. You know, you want to be responsible when you pollinating outside. So, you know, it's always good to be in the most controlled environment you could.
Yeah. And I would say that for everything, like regardless if you're breeding or not, bro, I would probably say, you know, try to control the environment as much as possible. When I was living back in the Caribbean, actually, there were people who always grew outdoors because, like, it's the Caribbean, bro. Why would you not grow outdoors, right? So everyone's growing outdoors, but then people would be growing regs and shit, and they know they grow a male or they plant herms out. And that shit literally goes and pollinates their homies' plants next door and them homies next door next to them. Yeah. And, like, motherfuckers literally had, like, plants on top of their roofs during veg and shit, right? They'll come outside and put their plants on top of the roof to get that sun. Like, everyone was growing outdoors, man. So a lot of people are susceptible to that shit.
Yeah. It's always going to boil down to your objective, though. Whatever you need to accomplish. If you need to plant 1,000 phenos, then you're going to have to do it outside most likely. You know, you're not going to be able to do it in a tent.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all about what you're working with and what your objective is.
Yeah, it's true. Big facts, man. And man, I'm seeing the chats popping off. We got over 200 people tapped in. Guys, smash that like, show some love, and let's see what's good. But man, so much.
Buzz.
Yeah, bro, he smashed it, man. Zaza gang in the house, bro. It's just crazy, man. Chats, I'm literally trying to keep in touch with the chat, see what's going on, and I can't just because it's fucking popping off, bro. Now, I saw one thing came in that I didn't want to pinpoint, man. It's Impala 64. An easy way to remember it for all those who may be struggling to remember that shit. F2, fuck your sister. BX, fuck your mother. S1, fuck yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. So speaking of that one, we haven't gotten to the S1 just yet. So talk to us about the S1, bro. What's the S1 all about?
S1, self-pollination, also a form of inbreeding, you know, because it's all inbreeding. It's a form of inbreeding. And we also use S1s as a tool. But yeah, S1s, and it's, you're going to always get feminized seeds as well. So because it's the mother breeding with herself. And
okay, so are there any benefits to that? Like, I see a lot of people doing S1s, and like I see them selling a bunch of packs, and they say like this is a pack of this strain, but it's all going to be crazy different phenotypes, and you may get intersex traits and shit like that, but it was an S1. Is there any reason for that?
Well, so when it comes to an S1, whatever the mother is, whatever her dominant traits are, you're going to double up on her traits. Well, not double. You're going to have 50% more. You're going to 50% increase those traits when she breeds to herself. So if she has a dominant hermaphrodite, then it's going to show 50% more and the next population of seeds. So you got to be careful with S1s. You got to definitely be purpose and strategy with why you are self-pollinating, and know that you're starting with a specimen that's a good one to start with, for sure. And it shows real strong, desirable traits to begin with. You don't want to double up on undesirable traits.
Okay, I got you. And like with that S1, whole process, right? If you were to do that, is there any more likelihood that you will get any undesirable traits, or do those desirable traits just really lock in and you like it's not really susceptible to getting anything else in there?
Well, no, it's all about the whatever you start with. If you start with a bad female, you'll double up on her bad traits.
Okay, I got you. So nothing new will really just, you wouldn't like, once it's good, you're good. Like nothing else you don't need to worry about much else.
You'll definitely increase strategically if you have a good mother to start with, for sure.
Okay, I got you. Makes a lot of sense, bro. And again, shout out to you on that, man, because like these are some questions that a lot of people, you know, probably been asking. And shout out to William. He says BX is fucking your granny. All right, you guys getting too carried away with this, bro. Let's just chill out. We're getting back to breeding and we're talking plants. No, Christopher Dukes, man, he does say S1 have to be a clone from a known mother plant. So I guess that's pretty interesting, because you probably would not want to do S1 with something you're not familiar with, right?
So S1 have to be a clone. Is that a question, or I'm not sure what the reference is, but
I think he was just saying it, and I was saying it makes sense, because like, you know, you don't want to do anything with like that's not known, a mother plant that's not known. You want to be able to know that whatever you're starting with, like the mother plant has to be something I'm familiar with those desirable traits that are locked in.
Gotcha. Yeah, for sure. You want to start with something that's good, for sure.
Okay, I got you, bro. Makes a lot of sense. Now, guys, definitely hit that hashtag Team Zaza. Drop it in the chat, man. Chat is going crazy. A lot of you guys are tuned in. Norma G, shout out to Norma G, man. Always showing love. Always, always dropping that. Check out Zaza on YouTube. Everything's there. We're dropping links for the whole show, so you guys can just tap it in the chat, and you guys will get carried to where you guys need to go. But yeah, now actually, Shawnee Mac is saying, I got a pretty interesting question. What does S stand for? Does S stand for self? I'm just assuming.
Correct.
Okay. Yep, I'm smart. I can pick things up too. Oh, bro. No, I love this, man. I love hanging out with you, bro. Like, it's such a cool cat.
Appreciate you. We got to do it again for sure.
Hell yeah, man. Now, this is probably like the perfect time, I think, to segue into the Know Your Bud segment, man. I like to say that everyone that comes onto the show is my bud, man. Like, you know, we hanging out, you know, we talking, grow, we blazing up, and I just want to know more about you. And you know, it helps everyone to know more about you. Everyone that comes onto the show is my bud, and I like to find out what you do with your buds. So I got a few questions, bro. What I'm gonna do is shoot them out. Like, there's no right or wrong answers, like multiple choice, like back in school days.
There you go.
And all you gotta do is tell me what your preference and why. That's it.
Gotcha.
All right, man, let's get into it. Now, I had a super controversial one, man. I almost dropped this question, man, but I asked a homie on the show, I think it was just yesterday, and he gave a controversial answer. So I was like, okay, maybe I'm up to pull it back out and ask you, right? So If you're growing your flower, and I know you said you do a lot of breeding, and you know you don't necessarily do a whole lot of harvesting, but if you do, right, are you wet trimming or are you dry trimming?
I'm dry trimming.
I got you, bro. Yeah, a lot of people agree with that, and he said something else, and people are going off in the chat. So,
yeah, it has a lot to do with your location too. So, you know, if you're in a place where it's low humidity, like Arizona, you might want to wet trim. You know, yeah, you gotta preserve the time on it versus somewhere where it's more humidity.
I got you, bro. And make sure I send some guys to smash that like. I'm seeing a lot of people loving this segment. So we do this for you guys, you know, so you guys could get to know our guests a little bit better, man. Now, when it comes to, you know, you harvested your flower, when it comes to like consuming it, you want to enjoy it. You want to just blaze up and enjoy that smoke. What you going to do? You're going to roll up a J, or you're going to grab a bong? What you going to do?
I'm smoking straight leaf, like, so it got to be. So for me, you know, I used to smoke cigarettes back in the day. I don't smoke no more.
Okay.
But I still need that harshness. Okay. So all my blunts got to be super harsh. Like, I go through packs, hundreds of packs that, damn, you know, I don't, if the blunt is not right, I won't smoke it. But it got to be a certain leaf. You know, it got to be like a Fanta leaf or something that can give me that kick.
A Fanta leaf, man. Not a lot of people actually know what that shit even is, bro. Straight up. Damn, bro. You out here, bro. Okay. I'm about to say, like, what's your favorite blunt that you roll with, man. Some people like Dutchess, some people like Blackwood, Swisher, King Palm. Man, went straight for the family, bro. Yeah, I like that. You're a real G, bro. I like that.
For sure.
No, man, I love this segment, man. I always have to get to know people a little bit better, bro. That's a dope ad. No one on the show ever fucking said that, bro. Me being from out in the Caribbean, bro, like, the first time I heard that myself, when I lived in Trinidad and Tobago in the Caribbean, the first time I heard that was when I went over to Barbados, bro. My homies in Barbados were like, you know, they're like, yeah, I'm so that fan today. Literal leaf, bro. Like a literal leaf, bro. Shit was still wet. Thing was still wet, bro. Man, that's crazy. You just threw me back ears, bro. Anyway, next question, though, is edibles or vapes?
I don't smoke either. I don't eat
none of them. None is fine, bro.
Nah. I had an experience with my sister at the airport where I was eating some RSO. And I ate like 400 milligrams, you know, and I'm like, cooking on the airplane, man. Like, so I was cool at first. You know, I'm cool. Like, I'm like, I'm chilling. I'm vibing. But then when we get on a plane, bro, I'm cooking though. So I kind of like doze off. But I wake up hot as hell, bro. So I'm like,
I gotta take all this shit off.
I can't though. So I'm like, and I'm like getting thirsty as hell. I'm telling the lady like, yo, I need some water, bro. Man, that bitch had to, she got to give me oxygen and all that. But
shoot, no cap, the oxygen, bro.
Bro, it was lit, man. I was cooking in that motherfucker. Bro. Never again. That's it, man. I'm done. I ain't never eating no RSO again. That shit cooked you.
Fuck that shit, bro.
You better know what you're doing. You better know how to use that shit correctly.
Oh my god, bro.
RSO ain't no joke.
I'm dead, bro. I'm fucking dead, bro. I gotta catch myself, bro. Guys, hit the fucking like for that, bro. I can't even breathe right now. Okay. Oh, shit, bro. Okay, next one, though. You hit that RSO and you catch yourself. You eventually catch yourself, bro. You know, and you're able to smoke a blunt, which you like. That's not so bad. But then you get hungry, right? What you gonna do? You're grabbing a snack. You're going for the munchies. Salty or sweet? What you picking?
I gotta go with the sweet.
Ooh.
I gotta have some type of maybe. See, I get my, sometimes, you know, I might be in a mood for Reese's.
Fuck with that Reese's too, bro.
You know, Sour Patch Kids.
You know, I don't fuck with that one as much. But I fuck with the Reese's. I love chocolate. That's why. Chocolate's my jam, bro.
Yeah, see, you can't go wrong with certain chocolates.
I had a little chocolate chip cookie right before we came onto the show, bro. I popped that shit in the microwave, warmed it up a little bit, got a little bit soft, ate that shit. The best thing ever, bro.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Fire.
Best thing ever, bro. Straight up. Okay. So you have one choice, right? You can only pick one, bro. You can only pick one. This is a serious one.
Mm-hmm.
You're waking bacon or you're hitting a nightcap? You can only pick one, bro. Long day ahead of you.
Only pick one?
Yeah, only pick one. Long ass day. You got a long ass day. What you gonna do?
I might be able to skip the morning just to get the night joint on. Yeah.
Just to get your day done and shit.
Yeah, I might be able to skip the morning for sure, because that shit make me sleepy anyway. I'll be high as hell at work, sleepy as hell.
Okay, I got you, bro. That's a smart one. You a smart mother. You're going to be productive, and then you're going to enjoy yourself afterward.
Yeah, work hard and go home.
Work hard, play hard. I like that shit.
Relax, okay. Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, that last one, bro. Like, you're sitting down here talking to me, man. We chatting it up, talking shit, and 20-year-old you kicks through that door, right? And he looks at you in your face and says, yo, I'm challenging you to a smoke off right now. What you going to do? Who's smoking who? Who's winning that smoke off, bro?
20-year-old me?
Yeah, young you, man. Young you. You're breeding at 17 and shit, bro. So you're doing the big man thing at young, bro.
20-year-old me, man. Yeah, he probably couldn't smoke with me now, man.
You probably smoke his ass, right?
Yeah, I smoke him out now. Yeah, for sure.
Hey, man, you rolling with that Fanta, bro. So I would assume he'd be smoking his ass. Oh, man. Okay, that's the last one there, bro. Man, the chat is crazy, man. Chat is popping off. A lot of people seem to love that segment, man. And that is the Know Your Bud segment. That's a beautiful thing of it, man. Like, everyone that comes on, they always got different answers, bro. No one is the fucking same. And everyone likes different things, man. So thanks for that, bro.
appreciate y'all.
Hell yeah, man. Now, guys, don't forget, and I didn't forget you guys, but the giveaway is still running. So, guys, we got 130-something entries. We got over 200 people tuned in. If you guys did not enter, your time is running out. I'm going to take one more question for Zaza, and then we're going to start to draw those winners. So, you guys, don't fuck around and get that hashtag Team Zaza dropped in the chat right now. That's all you got to do, and then you win. We're going to pick three winners. You guys will be able to scroll the website, pick what you want, and shout out to Zaza, man. Someone's going to have a super Merry Christmas, man. So big up to you, brother.
For sure, man. I appreciate you, bro.
Hell yeah, man. That's what's up. Now, where is it, man? I seen it, and it seems to be gone. Okay, it just came back up. So you guys, drop that hashtag, Team Zaza. I'm going to leave that up for a bit so you guys who came in late can drop that in. All you guys got to do is drop that Team Zaza in the chat. Now, where is that last question, man? Okay, this one was a pretty interesting one, man. This is from my homie, I like to call him Big Vic, man, but he's the iCan VIP Bean Club homie, Victor Ramirez, in the house. He's tapped in right now. He's always fucking tapped in, bro. But he says, where is it, bro? He says, I'm going to have to free up some time this evening, which I assume he did because he's tapped in. Zaza is a legend. Shout out to you, bro.
Big up. Sure.
Gang, Team Zaza in the house. Now, what exactly do you look for in a meal plan? Like, because that's what a lot of people may not, like, some people may just grab a male plant and say, okay, it's a male, it's going to breed with that. But things get a little bit more specific. So he's asking, what do you look for in a male plant? Like, do you look for height, width, diameter? Like, what?
That's a good question. So you got to think of it in a sense of, and it's not easy. A lot of people think it's just matching up a male with a female, and it's not. Ultimately, you want to be able to identify what we call a true breeder male, who's real actual breeder stock. And, there's certain traits that you need to identify. So you can kind of look at it as difficult as you being a man and then determining what traits you have that will pass off to your daughter.
Okay.
You know, it's just hard for you to determine that. But ultimately, vigor is the number one. Vigor. You can always do a stem rub, you know, throughout the grow. And early on, and stem rub as much as possible to try to identify strong and potent aromas of terpenes.
Gotcha.
And vigor is probably the most important. We look at flower structure as well during flower structure, bud structure, you know, or pollen sac structure. You know.
Okay, I got you. And sort of tied onto that question, he also asked, like, what would you say is more important, like breeding the right, finding the right female, or finding the right male?
The right male, because they're so rare.
Like a fucking gem.
Yeah, it really is. And you can clone females. You can keep a mother plant. You can preserve them much easier than you can identify and preserve a male.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. And Barry Bryant has actually dropped an interesting question too. You know, he was saying, what about pollen? If it dumps a lot of pollen or just has a little bit of pollen coming out of that baby, like, you know, it's almost like, you know, it's getting real old and it can't do the thing anymore, you know, and it's just digging real low. But like, what would you do? Like, does that make any difference?
If we have a male that just doesn't produce a lot of pollen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a sign of lack of vigor.
Okay.
We want strong.
You know, when you're like shaking it and like some of those Instagram videos and stuff, you see people shaking those males and it's like tons of fucking pollen on there and they're just getting it all off. But like a lot of the times, like, you may have a male and it just produces like a real little bit of pollen, not enough. And you're like, okay, you're in there with like a little cup trying to get some of that shit.
Yeah. You know, that's a sign of weakness. I wouldn't want to transfer that into my pool for sure.
Okay. I got you. That makes a lot of sense. So again, like that's something that a lot of people may even overlook, like pollen is like how much pollen is produced. That's something that people would consider a desirable trait in a male. And you guys can, you know, take that for what you will, but that's another dope thing that, you know, Zaza has dropped there. Cause I personally didn't even really think of it like that, you know, literally. And now what I did say, Zaza, and I did promise everyone in the chat is that we're going to do that giveaway. So let's get that draw rolling. We've got more people have entered since we reminded everyone, and we're not playing around. So let's get that draw rolling. And what do you say, Zaza? Should we roll it?
Yeah, let's do it, man. Shout out to the chat, man.
Shout out to the chat.
Name for sure.
Hell yeah. We got over 200 people tapped in, man. Hit that like and see how many likes we can get. Run up those motherfucking likes, man. Let YouTube know what's up. And shout out to Zaza. We got to show Zaza some love for doing this giveaway, man. So let's hit that draw. And the winner for the first motherfucking draw is going to be the one and only... Sneaks 17.
Okay. Shout out to congratulations, Sneaks, for sure.
Shout out to Sneaks, man. I think I saw Zaza come up right before that, bro.
My brother Thad popped
big up, man. Big up, brother. Shout out to Sneaks, man. Shout out to Sneaks. Sneaks, if you're in the chat, let me see you, bro. Let me see you show some love. And yeah, man, we got two more to roll. So if you guys have not dropped that hashtag Team Zaza, then definitely drop it in the chat. Because we ain't wasting no time. We're getting straight into the second roll. So let's do it. Let's get that second draw, bro. And the second winner on this draw is going to be the one and only. It's going to be Dr. Trichome in the house.
Shout out to Dr. Trichome, man.
Big up to Doc, man. The doc has got it cooking, bro. Shout out to Dr. Trichome. That's a pretty dope-ass name. I like it. Can you come and check up on my plants, doctor? Check my trichomes out, maybe? But shout out to him, man. Now, guys, send me an email, icanthcseedclub@gmail.com, and I will hook you guys up with Zaza, and you guys can get all that stuff sorted out, and we're going to hook you guys up. You don't worry about it. We're going to hook you guys up. But just send me an email, icanthcseedclub@gmail.com. And I don't want any scammers to come in, so just send me a screenshot of you logged in so I know it's you, so I can verify that shit. Now, let's do the last one, bro. Last winner is, and I see a few more people slid in before we did this one, so big ups to whoever wins them, but let's get that last winner rolling, fam. And the last winner on the show is gonna be a Merry Christmas to a Kushmas to Butters and Buds.
Butters and Buds.
Butters and Buds, man. Get it. Now, shout out to Butters and Buds, man. They were in the chat from the beginning, man. I think before the show even started, I seen this name pop up. So they've been waiting. Shout out. Sure, patience pays off. Yeah. That's what's up, man.
Congratulations, gang.
Man, Zaza, that's something I really love, man. My camera dropped when I was beating the shit out of that table, man. But that's something I did notice, bro. Like, you know, as soon as you tap into your videos, you know, you notice that sense of a community, bro, because, like, you know, straight up, what up, team? You know, you're always about that, man. You know, you got your whole team behind you, Team Zaza, and I think you're cultivating a great community, bro. So how does it feel to, you know, just have that support, you know, in everything you're doing, brother?
I appreciate it, man. That's love, because ultimately that's why I started it, to create a community so that, you know, we could, just like we, it's just like we isolate traits, you know, as a breeder, I wanted to isolate individuals that were the right phenotype for a particular group that we could isolate from this group. And then we could implant pure good, you know, education and breeding mechanics within the community.
Yeah.
And not just by me, because one thing I make sure is not to be the smartest person in the room. Mm-hmm. Team Zaza is some of the most brilliant people I met, you know, and in my family. You know, I could sit here and name them each one all day, but you could, you know, we got a Team Zaza story video up there you can go check out on the YouTube, man. And,
hell yeah.
I don't want to forget nobody. I hate doing it, and I always forget somebody. But shout out to the chat, man. Y'all in there.
Yeah, shout out to the chat. Everyone's been in the chat, man. Team Zaza is strong in the chat, bro. And I think that's a beautiful fucking thing, man. And again, like, even if you didn't win, like, guys, check him out. Check out his website. Hit that discount code, ICANTHC, 40% off. And you guys will be able to grab some for Christmas, man. But even bigger than that, and more importantly, like my homie Big Vic says, man, you won by just the knowledge gained, you know? So if you're able to gain just one little drop of knowledge on the show, bro, that's all we can ask from you guys. So,
Norma G.
Hell yeah, Norma G in the chat, everyone in the chat. And yeah, man, I think we touched on a lot of the different things, Zaza. But for all those who want to find you, get in touch with you, see what you got going on, see what's your next breeding project, what's the next new strain you're coming out with, bro? Where can they do that, dude?
Yeah, so they can always catch us on the website, zazagenetics.com. Always on Instagram. That's kind of like my office desk. You can always reach out to me in a DM on Instagram. But as far as We in Discord too. Every night we doing a class, for the most part, almost every night, 9 p.m. Me and the team is in there. either learning something or just kicking it. So you always welcome. The public is always welcome to join us on Discord. As far as projects, I'm doing a collaboration stream with a popular rapper out in South Central LA.
My homeboy. Oh shit, bro.
Yeah, my homeboy's 50. Yeah, he's from Crenshaw and Slauson area where Nipsey died. Mm. So rest in peace to Nipsey.
R.I.P. Nipsey.
Yeah, and it's one of Boosie's artists. So shout out to Spiffy, man. Dope. We got a strain coming out called Kill Bill, which is Dead Ops OG times a blueberry strain. Mm. So look out for that in the future.
I got you, bro. That is dope, man. So, guys, definitely look out for that. As my homie Cat Bar says, big up to Cat Bar. I send you a little Christmas gift. Hope you like it, bro. But he says, don't sleep on getting some Zaza genetics, man. So, don't sleep. Don't sleep at all. And for the winners, what's your email? Hit me up, ICANTHCSeedClub@gmail.com, and I'm going to get that out to you, man. Great thing about YouTube is that you can scroll back afterwards. I'm going to say it one more time, ICANTHCSeedClub@gmail.com. You know I got you covered, man. But on behalf of everyone, man, Zaza, I had a great time hanging out with you, bro. Thanks for dropping all that knowledge, man.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate y'all, man, for having me. And we definitely got to do it again, man, for sure.
Hell yeah, man. We gotta do it again. Chop it up. It's always fun chopping it up with the team Zaza, man. Zaza team is strong in the chat too, man. And everyone was excited for this, man. Like a lot of people shared it beforehand and a lot of people are just ready, man. So I think we can definitely do it over again. Hell yeah. No, man. Oh shit. Wait. I just realized. Okay, nah, we're good. Now, yeah, man. Guys, everyone in the chat, thanks for tuning in. We had a great fucking show. On behalf of me and Zaza, stay high. Stay motherfucking fly. I will see you guys in the next one. Peace, fam. Finish him.